listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Sitting here and Maisie Gray and Solomon Burke passed, as you hear on the news. And
That was sad. That was
Yeah.
Did they send 90 grandchildren?
Yeah.
Wow.
He wasn't just singing the blues.
He was making them. Five wives altogether.
Now I know why he was busy. Still on the road trying to feed them all.
Uh-huh.
No, it's really awesome music he shared with us and produced and won a Grammy. And just on and on and on. We played him many times here, and later on I'll probably play a couple if people want to hear them. But anyway, welcome back. And many of you out there ask me what's happening. Well, we've had antenna problems, but if you just stay tuned, we'll work it all out. And this will be the gathering place for a long time to come. So let's see what goes on and what we can do. And again, it's always on the website at carol@carolcox.com. And today you're probably thinking, well, what the heck can we talk? Don't have a guest. Chose not to have a guest. We had a couple people wanted to come on. But this is a time, it's election time, and it's general elections and what have you. And we've talked about much politics and all, but I want to, as we've said before, we don't like to tell you who to vote for, but give you great bits of information so you can make your own opinion and also make your own decision. And saying all of that, you should make an independent underscore. Not be influenced by your church, because they shouldn't be involved in telling people and lobbying and campaigning for politics. They should be spreading the word and making the world a better place and adhering to the good book or the rules, that however you define those, or whatever religion you are. And I'm going to talk about a bit both parties. And as you've heard me say here, many occasions, we as citizens, we get duped. We become part of the Democratic Party. We become part of the Republican Party. We all stick our T-shirts on. And we stand out on the street corner and we tell our friends who we should vote for and what have you. But are we really that naive? Are we really into the partisan, or do we let the politicians be partisan? I think we're a little more sophisticated than we give credit to ourselves, but we fall for the old bait. So take, for example, and in today's discussion, both parties for the governor are saying we want clean energy, and we want this clean energy, and I have a policy. And this clean energy approach is that we're going to do something, and we're going to bring in this, and we're going to do that. And Abercrombie actually says that he's thinking of forming our energy authority. Iona, he has RISE and making it a clean environment and what have you. And that's the funny thing is, how did he get the message? The rest of his party, majority of the Republican Party, has disagreement that there's global warming. So hats off to Duke Iona if he is sincere about it, because he's stepping outside of the box with his party. Now, Neil, on the other hand, he's going to start this new energy authority, and he's proposing this, but there are some great dangers. Namely, you look at, one, you take the Natural Energy Laboratory Hawaii Authority there on the Big Island. Many instances cared little or nothing for Hawaiian culture, the Hawaiian people. Moved people off Ho'ona, which is an area adjacent to that, invited many businesses and researchers, deep water research, cold water research, and what have you. And what did they do? Spill large quantities of dichlorofluorethane into the water and went untouched, unscathed. The state would not prosecute, the feds wouldn't prosecute, but it was an authority. And see, the problem with authorities is that they are quasi-government. They enjoy the protection of government, but the government don't have much to say to them. They are treated like a government agency, but they are also basically immune, because it's the pet project of the governor or whomever the administration. So that means they have carte blanche, open door policy to do whatever the heck they want to do. They bring in red algae and do all of these things, and it becomes a situation like, not to say that the authorities brought in, there was an authority associated with the super ferry, but what happens is that everybody's told to stand clear, make a clear, wide path so that these things can function, because it's good, as they quote, good for the environment, good for the economy, good for the people, and good for the sake of the state and the well-being of the state. And all of that is not true. You take the Hawaii Tourism Authority. How much is their budget? Who controls them? You had a bigot running it at one time, proven, a racist, using, this is Rex Johnson. All of that And look what it took to just get him out, but look what it took to expose him. Look at the behavior, how he behaved, and it was big salaries and what have you. So this is when Neil proposes to have an authority run our energy issues, or the clean energy of what have you. We already have PUC, the Public Utilities Commission. And I wouldn't send them a Christmas present, recognizing them for the good work that they've done, because it's up in the air. They seem to cater more to the industries rather than the people. They treat the public utilities, if you ask for documents, if you want information, you get strung along. They deter, they defer, they project a negative cloud to say that we are the Public Utilities Commission and you're at our mercy. This is, if you've ever had the need to visit their office or ask for documents or engage, you would think you're dealing with elementary kids. And you would think, how does a government entity, funded and what have you, operate in this fashion? Very secretive, controlled by the bigger industries, private industries, and they're at their beckoning call. They are supposed to, in some instances, advocate for the citizens. But when we talk about this clean energy and this authority, we have to really say to Neil Abercrombie and Duke Iona, and Duke is not proposing this, but he's saying we're on top of it. The problem is, don't need to create another agency that we won't have control over. Don't need to bring in private people who's going to donate to you and control us. And now you got two agencies that are squandering money. It's going to take them, as Abercrombie say, 2 years possibly to get this thing up and running. 2 years, and that's that's stretching it. I've not seen a government agency ever, or entity, that starts from scratch and is efficient in 2 years. So he only has a four-year stay. Now, here's an interesting thing. This is the proof is in the pudding, while I say that we have to be careful as voters and listen to the rhetoric. Here's an example. You can make a decision, and a sound decision, as to how you vote and what you vote for and what you support. And that is, let's take the rail. Now, there's a clean energy effort and a clean energy movement. There's being bantered about the wave energy. They talk this good story, solar power, wind. But now Abercrombie is still for the rail. Now, Iona hadn't spoken publicly, as I recall. I haven't seen anything definitive that say he stands against or for the rail. But I understand, just in a talk story situation, that Mufi Hanneman's brother's house this week, over in Hawaii Kai, Duke Iona was there, attended a talk story at Mufi Hanneman's brother's house to meet some of his supporters. You can try and figure that one out later. I don't understand. I thought they were Democrats or party people, but how is it that Iona would be at Hanneman's house doing talk story, coffee story, whatever you call those things? But neither, have said that they are. Neil is for the rail. Iona, we don't know. But there he said he suggested that he was kind. This is, I'm getting this second hand, that he indicated that he was not for it, but I don't know. The problem is where you can see this is all rhetoric and just absolute nonsense that they're talking, and it's political hogwash. And that is, if you're for the rail and you don't have any source of wind power, and you don't have any source of solar power in place, sufficient quantities of production levels that would fuel the rail, where are you going to plug your extension cord for the rail
into the wall if it's operated by electric. Well, HECO produces electric. HECO uses oil, a fuel, petroleum, to generate electricity. And what other, palm oil and other things. So if you're for the rail, how can you have a clean energy program? How can you introduce a clean energy when you're adopting a dinosaur as transportation and you'll need to fuel it? So what about the elevators? How are elevators that you're going to put at the stations, how are they operated on electric? Do we have a large field of wave energy generators out off the coast that would we could plug our rail into that? No, we don't. Do we have up in the mountains any a solar panel big enough that would fuel the rail? No, we don't. Do we have wind anywhere on this island, sufficient quantity production that would fuel the rail? So how can one claim, as Abercrombie is saying, we're going to go clean energy while under one arm, as if he's shopping, has a train? And on the other, he's talking and telling you, follow this. This is what I'm going to do. So as voters, you need to step back and say, okay, enough of the rhetoric, enough of the slick talk and all of that, and you're going to bring us jobs. Either commit to the rail and be open about it, or kill the rail and move forward with a true committed effort to build and invest in and explore and develop and sources of solar power, sources of wind power, wave energy. So what do you do? How do you sort through this when they come at you and they tell you things that you really should just stand back and say, wait, none of this is making sense, you see. And if this rail comes through, and this isn't about the rail, this is just trying to draw a parallel and share with you how you can sort through the rhetoric and see who's telling you what. Now, in this case, neither party is telling you anything other than, if you let me get in, then I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll tell you a good story now, and then I'll figure it out later. Now, speaking of later, here's something that bothers me about both campaigns, and that is, and we're going to talk about Iona, and we're going to talk about Abercrombie, and again, if you have comments, are you interested in adding to or objecting to, 524-1080, 524-1080. But what troubles me is that, as I spoke last week, some of you heard it, and my concern is, when you and I vote someone out, we elected Neil Abercrombie as a Democrat, and we chose Iona as a Republican. They're going to battle. Now, the others, as it comes to Caldwell and others, they go to the Democratic Party and they become part of that. Do we want to see them back into the system? See, this is the party politics that goes on. And within the Republican Party, the same thing happens. If a gentleman or a lady loses a position, then you get appointed to be the director of the Veteran Affairs Matters or some other agency. And so it's a circle of friends that you and I, we sit and we strain our brains to sort through the small things. But there's a bigger picture that we are missing, you and I as voters. And some of us say, this is why we don't participate in voting. We're discouraged. And then some like myself and you that do vote, oh, we're going to sort through it and we're going to work through it, but we don't challenge the guys, for example, as I'm talking about this rail issue, as an example, now I'm not discussing whether we should have rail or not, but just to ask you, what do we do? How do we stand and listen to all of this rhetoric, and then we find ourselves buying into it and, oh, he's going to have, we're going to vote for him, but he's going to have clean energy when he has a train that's going to suck more fuel, and not to mention, our whole economy is operated as if we're drunkards, and in our whole voting process, not voting machines now, not in the mail or advanced voting or anything like that, absentee, we are a group of people, to include me, because I fall for it too. We don't demand much of our politicians. We go like little sheep. They show us what they want us, and we mull over that, and we try to digest it, when in fact we have nothing going for ourselves, and we need to step up to the plate as voters and say, enough already. But look at our economy, for example. How can you have a clean energy program when your economy is based on tourism, for example? How do the tourists come here? By airplane. So if you increase the number of airplanes to bring the number of tourists here, what are you using? Solar power? There are no solar-powered airplanes that carry commercial people. Are they wind-generated? There are no trade winds that's strong enough to lift an airplane to bring here. So we're back to that oil, or that whatever it is, a petroleum byproduct. And so where is the clean energy program there? When we bring in the tourists, where are they going to stay? Well, we need more hotels. What do hotels do? They use electricity, and they need water, and they need... And how do you get the water to the hotels? By pumps, electrical pumps, and generators. How do you get the sewage? By sewage treatment plants and pump stations and what have you. How do you get all of this going on one hand, and then in turn, your proclamation is that you're going to have a clean energy authority and you're going to have a clean energy effort? So that brings me to another point, and that is within these parties, in these parties now, and you, most of you know this, and I'm just talking just to let off steam, so if you know, you probably want to have another cup of coffee, but these programs that they are presenting to us, they're not truthful. They're not telling us the truth about much of anything. You take Abercrombie's campaign. You look and you see the same old guard dogs around. There's Charlie Taguchi involved. Now, the last time that I read anything about solar power, clean energy, wave energy, I didn't see a Charlie Taguchi. I didn't see a Ben Cayetano. I didn't see a Bill Kaneko. I didn't see any of them being quoted or offering anything that would bring this to the table and benefit the public. So where is this clean energy policy coming from, this energy authority coming from? Whose idea is this? And these gentlemen have been around for a long time. Charlie Taguchi was the chief of staff for Cayetano. If you remember, he was a legislator. Then he was a school superintendent, or whatever you call that, because they call it superintendent, but the way they select one another, it's, okay, one is going to quit and retire, so you step up to the plate, and we'll appoint you in about 6 months. So I don't know if it's really a bona fide. Nobody's really being vetted, but anyway, that's another show. But where is this clean energy authority rhetoric coming from? Well, it's coming from a desire to get in government, and it's an act of desperation. Say anything, just let me in. I don't care what I say, how I say it, because I'm going to bring you clean energy, but I'm also going to bring you the rail. Now, Iona is smart about it. See, he, as I say, he hadn't come out and busy as yet, and he's too busy out recruiting people for the church and trying to build the church and dedicate this whole process to and I'm going to go, you think it's off subject, but as I say, I want to give you everything, both barrels today, to say to you that wake up. If we're going to vote for them, we're going to become dumber if we don't start asking questions, if we don't hold. When they have debates, we don't need the structured debates. We need them to stand up and tell us. We need people questioning them and asking them, sort through this nonsense that you're telling us. So I'm going to jump track for a minute, speaking of trains, and then we're going to talk about, we're talking about both parties and the things that you need to look at. So we're going to, as you know, I've played with some of the statements by Iona, and I'm sharing this with you once again so that you, as a voter, as a citizen, a free citizen, and you can make your own decision. I guess this is what this show can be titled, The Day of Decision Making. But anyway, I'm going to let you hear Iona's involvement in the religion arena, and then we'll get back and talk about the rhetoric and all of the other things.
It's taken me 9,000 miles approximately away from home to understand what is happening in Uganda, what is happening in Argentina.
Come to the Harvest Evangelism Conference and be a part of the next move of God. Be there and watch God at work.
Certainly you should come. There's no question for me. There were doubts before, but at this point, no doubt. You know, it's easier to go to church, to go to God's church, than it is to be God's church. And that's why we're all here. We're one body of Christ. We're one church. And we're all here to disciple the nations, here in Hawaii and everywhere else. And I want you all to know that.
Would you join me now in welcoming Francis Oda to the podium? Francis is one of the leaders of Transformation Hawaii. We know that God's heart, His call, His word, is for nations. And we are His vanguard here. We're the tip of His spear, His wave riders. He'e nalu o kea pua. The wave riders of God. And now I have the privilege of introducing our Lieutenant Governor, Duke Iona, his beautiful wife, Vivian, and we will welcome Lieutenant Governor Iona to the platform.
On behalf of the people of Hawaii, I extend a special greeting of aloha to, first of all, Ed and Ruth Tibosio, and everyone gathered for the 19th Annual International Transformation Network Global Conference at the Hilton Hawaiian Village. I am particularly excited about the fact that for the next week, Hawaii will be home to approximately 500 delegates from all six habitable continents of the world. My wife Vivian and I, having personally attended this conference in Argentina a few years ago, know that your experience with His Spirit here in Hawaii will be an added blessing. And may God's grace be with the participants of the International Transformation Network Global Conference. Aloha from myself, Lieutenant Governor Duke Iona, to all of you, but in particular to Mr. Pastor Ed.
We are breaking every weapon of the enemy, that we are canceling every curse, and we are declaring that there is a future and there is a hope for Hawaii. And there is an even greater future for the Lieutenant Governor and his. You are come to Hawaii to a state that the heavens are open. You are coming to a state that it doesn't matter if the Democratic or the Republican candidate wins the governorship, either one is already in the kingdom.
And we declare that our school will become God's school. Come, and let your will be done.
you're probably sitting there going, this guy is presenting, this guy Cox is presenting something that's disjointed, and what I was attempting to do, or am attempting to do, is to show you in any given day the things that are occurring. They slam you with the commercials, and all of this is in the airwaves and running around and moving, but what you don't hear is this kind of information. What is really going on behind the scenes? The rhetoric, the hogwash. I know that by getting in and saying you're going to dedicate the state to God. What about the Buddhists? What about others, the Hare Krishna? And we've said this before, but I put this out here in this one show to show you what, to duplicate what it is that you and I have to sort through any given day. People's real intentions and what they tell us. And we don't know. There's a straight line where they're talking about clean energy and what have you, but they're really committed to other things rather than what you're hearing being told to you openly or overtly. There is something more sinister behind both parties there. They're vowing to get in and not have any obligation to the people, no matter what they tell us. And so I stand back and I look at the Tea Party. I'm not in agreement with them, and I think they have some very serious issues about humanity amongst themselves, and they'll have to sort that out. But what I'm beginning to see, and knowing it for a while, is that we have a government that does not respond to our people, does not treat us as it is our government. They tell us anything and everything, and none of the things that they tell us is doable. Not with the type of people that they're banking on and bringing in to support them. I haven't seen a single document that Charlie Taguchi wrote on solar power, for example. Will he become Abercrombie's chief of staff again? Or what will he be? There's Randy Iwasi. There's many. Who will come from Iona's team from the Lingle administration? And who will he appoint? Will he create a new ministry of God in state office? We don't know, but you might think it's silly, but we have to ask these questions. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Yeah, I just tuned in. I heard this fellow orating about God. Was that June Jones?
No. That was Mr. Duke Iona, Lieutenant Governor, and also Ed Silvoso from the International Transformation Network.
Oh, it sounded like Jones, the guy that had all his followers take poison.
Yeah, you probably heard somebody in the background mixing the Kool-Aid again. That's probably why it was a little confusing to you.
Thanks. But, I thought I got the wrong program.
Okay, Ed, thank you. I don't want to be disrespectful. People did lose their lives and for nonsense in Guyana, so I don't want to poke fun of that. But again, raising that point, that's the seriousness of this. Will we now have to all wear robes, white gowns, go to church on Sunday if you're dedicating the church to the state, the people, the schools, the students, to God? What will we have to do? Again, I apologize for sounding scatterbrained here, but I'm trying to duplicate what it is that is going on behind the scenes, what it is that this smiling face that when the commercial comes on and you see the ocean and you see the word rise. And then there is this handsome gentleman there who's saying, you can trust me because I'm going to sell you down the pipe. Just let me get in. I'll tell you anything that you let me get in, and when I'm in, it's over. You will have to take your kids to school, and before you go into the school, you'll probably have to bow down and pray. Something against your will, something against your constitutional beliefs, something against your beliefs. Who knows? Who'd have thought about the Patriot Act? would have thought that you can go to Kauai now and be taken an x-ray machine and have your body exposed, your genitalia, x-ray, everything. Who'd have thought that here in America, the people that got in was telling you, well, we're going to get in there and we're going to make government smaller, and everybody go, right on, that's good, I'm sick and tired. We're going to stop welfare, right on. We're going to go over there and kill all those terrorists, right on. We're going to get Osama bin Laden, we're going to get everybody in Iraq and everywhere. And we said, yeah. And then I saw a t-shirt the other day and said, these colors don't rhyme. And we fell for that, and we voted for them. And we are now going to Kauai, and probably in another 6 months, it'll be here in Honolulu, where you walk in and you check your baggage in, and they check you in, and x-rays. And in turn, whoever submitted to that, I went to bed one night thinking I was a free man in a free nation. But again, why am I talking about this and sharing it with you? Because if we don't become smarter as voters, if we get lost in the rhetoric, if we don't start asking and holding them, politicians, the groupies within politics, if we don't start asking them, then we're a lost nation. We're a nation. We just gave it away. Nobody conquered us. No one shot and killed us all and took us over. We got down on our knees and said, yeah, we want to stop welfare. While meantime, their big brothers and big companies like Blackwater or now the Z and all those people are sucking up our dollars. Accountability. Yet, these are the same people that want to get in government. And then in turn, we're focusing on things such as clean energy. Let's ask the harder questions. Why do I have to go, Mr. Abercrombie and Mr. Iona? What are you going to do about the machines in Kauai? Right now it's a test plot, so tomorrow, 6 months from now, it'll be in Honolulu. So when you go in, your body is exposed and they x-ray and here you are, your privacy. Yet, when they had the European threat here recently, they say, we don't have any real noticeable threats or any real genuine threats here in America. So that means you got to x-ray my genitalia and x-ray women if you know that there's no threat. And I guess the yellow code will go up. Remember the codes that were out there? It's a yellow this time. So this is what you and I need to start asking when we talk about voting. Don't fall into, he's a good guy. Well, Neil has only been up there and he hadn't voted but 100 times and whatever. Let's ask the harder questions. Let's ask Neil Abercrombie. Let's task them all. When they have the debates, Iona said he wanted to have a debate. Let him answer the people. Ask some hard questions. Not ask the prompter, not ask the interviewer, but answer the people the harder questions. Joya, are you there?
Okay, hi. Good morning. This is Joya. There's a group of us who are concerned about water quality here in Waialua. Well, they've done it again. You know, they open up their sewers up in Wahiwa and let it come down our rivers. And there is such a stench here, it's unbelievable. And I just want to see if I can get some people together to... I know we've traced it already, but they just do it whenever they want. It's a combination of the military and the water treatment plant up here in Wahiwa.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know that it's sewage. And now it's coming down and they're pumping it out right into the river. Mm-hmm. And it's going out into the ocean. And people are swimming there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think you might know my daughter and I have made some video for Olelo when mm-hmm. we were concentrating on Kayaka Bay before.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, you know, we cleaned up the ground, but we've never been able to touch them on the water. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm sure you've got the stench up there. At it starts in the oh, I'm so upset. In the lake up there at Wilson Lake.
Right.
And it's just awful. I mean, we have tourists and people. It stinks. It's mm-hmm. been there for 24 hours already.
Mm-hmm.
So you have any suggestions about what we can do?
Well, this is, I'm glad you called.
Yeah.
There's many of things, and if you're listening to the program and understand some portions of it, I would say I don't want to confuse you. But yes, for years, if you go to EnviroWatch.org, you can see sewage flows to the North Shore. Governor Linda Lingle has permitted it for in her entire administration prior to her coming in. It is being dumped there for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
This was the Wahiawa Reservoir. Took place for the Coutree Reservoir, which was uphill, and it was solely for agriculture, holding water, not flood control or anything. Well, the city and county of Honolulu built a sewage treatment plant there and then started dumping the treated sewage, which is very low-scale treatment.
Yeah,
dumps
R2.
It into... Yeah, it's not even R2.
Oh.
That's the lie that they...
I thought it was worse than R2, because R2 is
well,
being treated.
Well,
yes.
See, the thing
we'll
is...
We'll finish. I'm sorry
No problem. We don't have... Citizens shouldn't have to think these technical things.
Right.
What it is sewage, and when we say R2, R1, R3... there's processes that render this water to that. Well, these processes, this water hadn't been submitted to that process, so it can't be claimed, because
yeah.
if it's secondary or tertiary treatment, and it's sewage, and sometimes raw sewage is dumped quite often, right?
Yeah.
So how then, if raw sewage is introduced there, how can it be R1, R2, R3?
I agree.
Right?
I didn't even want to use that term.
So anyway, but in this tropical climate, that lake is shallow, so it used to stink in the sulfur, hydrogen sulfide and all of that from the human waste.
Stink.
So, yeah, of course it does.
Yeah.
And many people have had problems with that. So here's what happened. City and County of Honolulu dumps the sewage. Mr. Senator Danny Noyes went and got $1 million way back. I can't think of the acronym now, but many people were on the committee, these Democrats now. And that's why I say people need to look at everybody, Republican, Democrat, Independent,
yeah.
and say, get past the nonsense and tell us what you're going to do. And that's
yeah.
why I appreciate you calling. What happens with this, the sewage is dumped there. There is a vent, a flume that comes out of the base of the dam right there at at Schofield at the back gate.
Yeah.
And it's dumped into a flume, which was used for agriculture purposes throughout that valley out there. So the dam is not safe, believe it or not. There are reports that say that. Marcus Oshiro knows that. They've walked it. Bunda knows it. So all of those guys that you voted for, that you digested what it was and bought what they're the guys who stood by that and continue to let this happen. And that water then is dumped into this flume, and the military now, accurately enough, say it's not our sewage water, right? What it's the rhetoric, so it's not their sewage water that's coming out of the river, out of the lake. That is true, but just a few feet from the flume coming out of the wall of the dam, the military dumps its water into the flume.
Yeah.
And the water then goes out, meanders through the valley, and you along Kaukonahua Road.
Yeah.
Now, a great portion of that, though, and this is where Lingle and the Ionas and all of the others and the Democrats, too, stood by the Mufi Hannemans, ignored your call, my calls, media calls, to do something about it, and to this day continue to dump the sewage. Now, Dole, in fact, got a great deal because running that military pipe across the land, they were able to get reimbursed with many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars annually and got a lump sum because they say that flume prevents them, or that pipe prevents them from developing that property, when in fact it's on the face of a cliff. Well, it goes out, and here's what is really happening, and the public must know this. And again, I hope you stay on it. I'm going to continue to look at it. But it dumps into, they are actually dumping on occasion raw sewage into the Kalkonahua River, or stream, I should call it.
Yeah.
And they're monitoring it. And the military then says, well, no, it's not our water. Well, that's not true either.
Well, on one occasion when our group was studying it, you know, the Mokuo-Waialua, you know, watershed group, somebody saw it actually coming, like running right out from the water treatment plant that's across the street from Ka'ala Elementary School.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they actually saw something running from the plant.
Yeah, it occasionally have overflows and backups and what have you. And
it's right next to the school.
Yeah, but the stench and the smell, the people there at
And Kimball. The other thing is, I think they're also running it down on a hulu, because when it comes down Kalkonahua, they don't always smell it in Haleiwa.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the smell is so strong in Haleiwa, and I think they're doing something with the other river. The one that goes under Rainbow Bridge,
mm-hmm.
It's stinking. People who live on that river said that they have the same experience.
Well, let me explain what, and we have the documents and all, and have photos and aerial photos, and what happens, yes, that water then is taken and used by Bishop Estate renters and leasers and lessees to irrigate. Because, and the problem here is that water can be used, unfortunately, as irrigation, but it cannot be sprayed on leafy plants, right? You there? Anyway, it can't be sprayed on leafy plants. Only plants, the root, can be administered this water. So, again, they're also being paid to land dump the water. And that is the problem. Good morning, Em. How are you? Are you there? Hello, Em.
How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I was saying I'm so happy when the carpetbagger comes to my house. I don't have to go to the store anymore. He brings all the carpeting to me, and you know, we're so happy because of you, Tahil Sahil, our number one leader. You are helping us to take out our foots, because we've been hoodwinked here in Hawaii.
Yeah. And
so happy people like you coming from abroad and opening our eyes.
Well, thank you.
And let me not be misunderstood when I say some people said something about a carpetbagger. I love carpetbaggers from Mississippi.
I love Mississippi.
You loved it. Are you from Mississippi, by the way?
I'm from Mississippi.
Oh, la, la. That was not too good of talking, but, you know,
we
appreciate people like you.
I'm inclined, when I see the apathy and the...
That is a blessing that was said about you.
The sheep mentality in our voting process. I think everybody should go through Mississippi for 2 years.
Well, I would love to go over there. I heard the Kenny Fish over there.
Well, yeah, but we would have a great teaching, and we would see how harsh life can be, and that way we wouldn't tolerate anything. And
I think we have it hard.
Yeah.
I'm glad to have a leader like you. When you talk to the city and county, they do not listen to you. They play the stars and stripes forever in the office. Just like I'm going to be on the phone forever. I said, I'm going to be on the phone forever. Then the stars poke me, and the stripes rub my blood in the water, and the blue bruises me from the city and county office, from Musty Hanneman's girl that I tried to ask an honest and good question. She told me, you don't know the facts.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
I don't, but...
So you know what I did? I always flew my flag, and if I didn't fly it, I put it under my thing, and I look at it every day. I was so upset. I took that flag, and I put it in a package for 3 or 4 months, but I got over it, and I brought it out again.
Wow. Yeah, well...
That's why people do that, because these official leaders' kids, that they're not watching a pounding on us, giving us, you know what they say, the umbengi. They're banging us.
Yeah, they
you
are.
Know, and that's not racial. And that's not, but that's what they do to us.
Yeah, I would love
they
to see.
They stick their lips out to us when we ask them, are you going here? He says, I told you already. The bus drivers.
Right.
Well, the city's going to open up their eyes with Mr. Carlisle, our Pita.
We hope so.
He'll be listening.
Yeah.
He's used to listening to people in the courts. May they be wrong, or maybe they're right. He will correct it, hopefully.
Well, you want to call back in about 10 minutes? No, you're welcome.
Sorry.
Nothing to be sorry about. I enjoy it. Just
yeah.
If you'd like to, we're going to end this hour and
okay.
Come back in about 10 minutes, and feel free to call back. We'll
okay.
Be back.
Thank you okay. So much. Thank you, my leader.
All righty. Thank
bye.
You.
Bye.
Aloha.
Second hour of the Carol Cox Show coming up at 9:06, right after CBS News, right here at KWAI Honolulu. Again, Carol Cox, he'll be back at 9:06.
Full volume through your earbuds, 120 decibels.
Play it safe. Turn down the volume. To learn how to protect your hearing, visit ASHA.org.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Cost of living adjustment, COLA. It's supposed to be part of the deal with Social Security. Checks going up a little each year to keep pace with inflation, but not this year. Second year in a row. Risen given low rate of inflation. Andrew Biggs, former Deputy Social Security Minister.
Seniors have gotten used to the idea of inflation and used to the idea of COLAs to make up for inflation. It's very, very unusual for no COLA to be paid in a year, much less to be paid 2 years in a row.
Government expected to make the official announcement this week. Something really loud happened in the hotel parking garage near the Los Angeles Harbor.
Now that the robots have gone forward and the bomb squads had a close look, they're confident it was not a bomb, not an explosion, but it is something did happen to the car.
LAPD Lieutenant John Romero, the hotel in San Pedro evacuated as a precaution today. Officials say those 33 men trapped in a Chilean mine are so giddy about their impending rescue, they are arguing over who should be the last one out. To prepare for their nearly half-mile ride to the surface, the miners are taking aspirin to reduce the risk of blood clots. They'll also put on compression socks before starting their ascent later this week. foreclosure probe. Practically nationwide. Here's CBS's Tom Foti.
The attorneys general of most of the nation's states, 40 of them, are now expected to launch a joint investigation of the mess involving bad paperwork in the foreclosure process. That has brought into question just who owns what. The lead investigator is expected to be Attorney General Tom Miller of Iowa.
Easy come, easy go. Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg on the price of gas.
Regular grade gasoline now costs $2.77. It's up 8 cents in the past 2 weeks, and it cancels out a drop of 8 cents over the prior 6 weeks.
In Belgrade today. Things did not turn out as planned. GRN reporter Mark Lowen is there.
This, it was hoped, would be Serbia's first successful gay pride, but in the end, it descended into scenes of utter violence as street battles were fought in various locations across the city between protesters throwing rocks and petrol bombs against armed police who responded with tear gas and rubber bullets. The protesters set the building of the governing party on fire, and shops were looted across the city.
Dozens of people arrested. Have you seen The Social Network?
I'm talking about taking the entire social experience of college and putting it online.
The behind-the-scenes story of the supposed origins of Facebook, again, the number one movie in America. He is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, known for his 60s soul styling, stuff like this. Don't you feel like a crime? Solomon Burke, dying in an airplane that had just landed in Amsterdam on a flight from L.A. His biggest hit was Everybody Needs Somebody to Love. He's 70 years old. He leaves 5 wives, 90 grandchildren. Solomon Burke, dead at 70. This is CBS News.
Now is the best time to make the Sears big switch to Energy Star this Columbus Day weekend, with huge savings like 20% off all Energy Star qualified appliances and an additional 5% off all appliances when you use your Sears card. Plus, save $600 on an Energy Star qualified white Kenmore 3-door refrigerator and get 25% off all Samsung appliances. Search Sears appliances for our everyday best prices. Hurry in today. Sears.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Extra 5% off and 10-12. Remaining offers end 10-14. For full offers, to Sears.com.
There's no guarantee you'll ever have a single-digit handicap. No guarantee you'll approve of your daughter's fiancé. In a world where guarantees are in short supply, thankfully there's Assured Guarantee. With municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of your principal and interest is guaranteed. Assured Guarantee is the global leader in bond insurance, with the financial strength and risk management skills to stand behind every bond we insure. Talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
The road to peace in the Middle East appears to have another pothole.
Israel's cabinet approved a controversial loyalty oath that requires new citizens to pledge allegiance to a Jewish state. Israeli Arab parliamentarian Ahmed Tibi says it's racist.
We can't agree for that. The international community should say no to this.
The loyalty oath is linked to an Israeli demand in peace talks to be recognized as a Jewish state, but the Palestinians have refused. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
A top congressional Republican is criticizing a House GOP candidate from Ohio who wears a Nazi uniform during reenactments of World War II battles. The Atlantic magazine reporting last week, Ohio Republican Rich Ayotte has participated in the reenactments wearing a Nazi SS uniform since 2003. House Republicans' number two leader, Eric Cantor of Virginia, says he repudiates those actions and would not support someone who would do that. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
During Chevy Truck Month, get great deals on all trucks and full-size SUVs. Every one dependable, long-lasting, and backed by a 100,000-mile, 5-year powertrain warranty. Whichever comes first. See dealer for limited warranty details.
Motorcycle owners, here's something to stash in your saddlebags. GEICO could save you money on motorcycle insurance. And here's how easy it is. You call GEICO and speak to a specialized motorcycle agent who gives you a free rate quote. If you're like thousands of other riders, the rate is less than what you pay now. And before you can say, cha-ching, the agent also tells you about 24/7 emergency road service for less than $1 a month. Savings. It's what we do for people. Call today for a free rate quote. GEICO. Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Macy's Thanks for Sharing program. Get 10% rewards when you enroll through December 31st on most Macy's credit card purchases. And Macy's will donate $10 up to $15 million to national and local charities. Visit Macy's or Macy's.com/thanks.
people see what this whole world, what this whole world could really be. Cause nothing is impossible to your dream. Make them come true. Nothing, nothing is impossible. All can be possible. For me and for you, you're all to blame if things stay the same. Be real smart, follow your heart. Got to be real deep.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that is good.
Mr. Solomon Burke.
He's going to be missed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But we're going to play him a lot more.
Sure.
All the good music that he'd leave with us, and a lot of it is socially correct, and then others would probably say, but yeah, some of that is, that those love songs are a little too much, too graphic, but but it all is good, and yeah, we will miss him.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we've taken back up where we left off, and this is the second half of the Carol Cox Show. We'll call this the Rant, Rave, and Out of His Mind version. But anyway, feel free to call in. 782-6627 is my cell number for you that got information you'd like to share with us but want to remain anonymous. And if you want to call in on air, remaining anonymous, but we don't like to use foul language, and we won't use it. And but 524-1080 is the actual number to the studio if you want to go live and offer your comments or disagreements or agreements. And carolcox.com is a website, so I hope that you would share this with others. And that's carolcox.com. Well, picking up where we left off, I just talking with and listening to M is absolutely something that I really like, and I'm not offended by anyone calling up, whatever your subject is. But and it's clear, it's helpful to share and support what I'm attempting to discuss, and that is we need to hold our elected officials as individuals, not as party, as groupies, because if we don't, then we're going to, as I say, I never ever would have thought Even if you had drugged me and altered my mind, I would never believe that a Honolulu Police Department or a regular police officer driving down the street must establish probable cause to stop you, to search you, and to do those things. Yet our federal government can search you, look at your genitalia, look at your private parts with an x-ray machine just because you wanted to fly from Honolulu to Kauai to get a few papaya because you like the way the papaya tastes there and you want to eat the papaya while looking at the waterfall. So the federal government does not need to establish probable cause. But now, how did we arrive at this? Well, both the Democrats and others and the Republican Party, they all voted for this Patriot Act, and my the man that I admire for many reasons, Mr. Obama, fell for it too. He went and reauthorized it. And I don't know if they slipped that in while he was reading from the prompter or giving his speech or feeling good and say, how am I doing on the other side there? I want to come along and get along with you. I want to stay in office. My party want to stay in office. So I know I told the people certain things and promised them change and what have you. How am I doing, Republicans? Are you going to come and vote for me and with me? And we see where that went. So this is why we need to be more aggressive, and I mean it. We need to stand up and ask these questions. When you get a chance, do me a favor, do yourself a favor, and ask Mr. Abercrombie, Neil, you're going to have a clean energy policy? You're going to institute and implement an authority, energy authority? Tell us specifically how you're going to do it, where you're going to get it funded from, who's going to participate, how are they going to select, and on and on and on. And Mr. Iona, tell us, how are you going to dedicate this state, this people, the children, the schools, the language to God when we are a multitude of multiple believers in various deities or what have you? How are you going to do that without violating my rights, Mr. Iona? How are you going to do that? So this isn't about I like Neil and I don't like Iona. This is about, folks, what else is there to come? And we're giving it away. We're handing it to them on a silver platter to say that our government is just, it's I don't know. I mean, it has a license to do whatever it does. All the guy can win by 300 votes and shape your life forever with nonsense. Joya, you're back. Good morning.
Yeah, I didn't. My phone gave out. I would never hang up on you.
Oh, I have a lot of people hung up on me.
I would not hang up on you, though. I mean, you may have people who do that. But
No. Relax now. Relax. I say, listen to what I... Don't get so involved. I say I have a lot of people hung up on me.
Oh, okay.
We're here to have fun.
It went over my head.
Relax. See, that's symptoms of you've been ripped off by your government. You're so intense. You're nervous.
Yeah.
And we can't be afforded human anymore, so.
Well, because you had mentioned, that it's a flood thing. But, 2 years ago, we had like a wall of water that came down. And
yeah, at Old Tiny Flats in that whole area. And people died in the 70s from that. Remember?
Yeah. This time, I had a... there's all kinds of streams that go through here. People don't even notice that there's two rivers and then there's a stream. Anyways, my dog drank the water and died.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it was poisoned. And in 40 days and 40 nights, we didn't have anything like that. Remember when we had all that rain?
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing was that, it was like
right.
15 feet wall. And it stunk, too, and a lot of children got sick from the water. So I know I want to do something about it. I'm going to have our group meet again. And do you have any documentation or anything that you want to contribute to our meeting or...
I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of documents.
Well, do you have anything specific about why it's coming down, where it's coming from, and who to blame and who to call?
If you go on, go to EnviroWatch.org,
okay.
There's an entire chronology laid out. You'll even see the dead fish where people are fishing and eating fish.
So EnviroWatch.org, and then what do I plug in after that?
Just look right there. You'll see water runs, the sewage run to the North Shore.
Okay.
There's a video, and there's all kinds of things there, so... and you are right to have concerns in that they've tried to deal with that stench, but instead of dealing with the problem, they try to deal with the smell.
Yeah, you can't deal with the smell. I mean, I can't believe how many, they drop tourists off in Haleiwa, and I can't believe that anybody would want to come here knowing that the stench is so bad.
Well, I can. I mean, they do, and they are here, and they do come. So, but again...
But that's another topic.
Right. So what you can do is... that water committee that you talked about that was formed...
Yeah, Mokuo Waialua Watershed Action Group.
Whatever, it was doomed from the beginning because, if you remember, some of the people worked for Dole that were in there, and I was looking at some of the documents where they got right down to telling the group what to say and what not to say and when to write.
Yes, but we didn't listen. We tried as much as possible, to be honest.
Yeah, I understand. But
remember, my daughter and I won an Olero Award that year for the Kayaka Bay piece that we did.
Yeah, but we still have the stench, so, you know.
And we ended up having a wonderful cleanup at Pool Wiki Point, and people comment how beautiful it looks there now, but that wasn't what was causing the stench.
Right.
That was just polluting, you know, adding to the pollution. I recently was made the secretary of the group, but we haven't done anything, and I think it's time to try to actually... you know, address the politicians. Like,
how would you address the politicians?
Well, how do you get people to do anything? I mean, are you hopeless?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm sitting here with the microphone telling the world that I'm not. If you think I'm hopeless, then
yeah, but I mean, how
drugs.
Do you? I mean, it's like you were telling people earlier to actually ask the hard questions.
Exactly.
So. I don't know who to ask on this one.
Well,
you mentioned Dela Cruz knows about it.
I let me say this: when the power lies within you. When you walk in that booth, all those things that you are troubled by now should be influencing your judgment of whether you color which box you color it in or which one you don't.
Well, I who would be responsible for that area? I guess it's I'm going to try to, you know, address it directly to the candidates when they have their debates. Because I also go to those. We cover them for Olelo, and, you know, they do most of the talking.
Right, exactly. And so that's why I say, no, I'm not hopeless. I'm alarmed that we are falling for the okie-dokie every election season. So there's De La Cruz, there's Bobby Bunda. I mean, I didn't see any outrage when he was standing telling us how great of a job he did with the water and that Shark's Cove. And remember those videos he was running?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, well, maybe he just left his psychiatrist who told him to think positive, Bobby. Because what I knew about Bobby, it did nothing for the environment. He wouldn't even respond to the fishermen, and they had problems and concerns.
Well, I don't see how anybody, you know, I hate to say this, and I know you want me to make it short, but I'd like to stick their head faces in it right now. I don't know how anybody could stand to be near it and not get sick.
Well, they don't have to because they got a job and they can get on the plane and go and attend meetings and they drive by with their windows rolled up. And
They have air conditioning.
Air conditioners that you and I buy. The thing is, I would say, is to start off by making videos and putting the microphone in front of Donovan De La Cruz and Michael Margawai and Bobby Bunda and all the others and say,
Yes.
We know what you want to tell us. Now tell us what we want you to tell us.
Well, I am going to do that at the next meeting. But
yeah.
The other point I wanted to make is that that's why they can't have full-on agriculture out here.
Exactly.
In case anybody didn't know it, even the treated water is not clean enough for ground crops. So that's why we have all these trees growing back here. They can't actually grow, only in certain areas where they're using different water. So part of it is an attempt to undermine agriculture on the North Shore.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I would say part of it is it's there because our leaders have taken millions and we're squandering it, and we're paying the federal government, and others are paying Dole and the companies out there to allow them to dispose of the wastewater over the ground. That's all it is. I don't think there's a grand conspiracy.
Are zoned for agriculture, and there is a move constantly to try to change our zoning so that they can develop. We fought years ago, what was 20 years ago, they wanted to put a, mine, what do they call that, where they take concrete out of the Ameron.
They wanted a sand quarry. There's an old sand quarry right across on the Kozier Drive over in that area.
Yeah, well, they wanted to have the sand quarry on the back road right where the water runs through, and we stopped it. Now they have those estates there. But one of the things they said was that it was just an ugly spot and it had no value to anybody, that they could rezone it.
Yeah. If I could make a suggestion to you, don't sweat the small stuff. I'm attempting to give you facts, and you're taking issue and debating. Listen.
Okay.
I've spent hours and hours on this subject, and the documents, if I give them to you, and I would say, it's at Kozier Drive. There is a sand pit out there. I don't care if you call it the back road or whatever your issues are. They're dumping on us.
Yeah.
And we're paying them to ground dispose of it. The EPA, the federal government, I file a complaint with them with all of the details, and they will not do anything. The Hanneman administration did nothing. The Lingle administration did nothing. The Iona administration will do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The Abercrombie administration will do nothing. You know why? Because there's big money involved, and they don't want to force the military, and they don't want to force Dole to clean up their act. They don't want to force Bishop Estate, who there's a lot of land that leases out there, and there's not a conspiracy of sort to control agriculture, because they would need water for the houses. What they need is a plant that treats with osmosis and treat and recover that water, reclaim it, and would be suitable along that coast and along that area,
mm-hmm.
up and down, to contribute and complement agriculture.
Yeah. So isn't that a possibility? I mean, you said what I'm hearing from you is you kind of don't believe we could do anything.
No. You're playing outside the box. I believe in everything.
Okay.
I believe. I paranoia. I leave it at the door when I walk into the studio.
Yeah.
And I deal with the facts, and I would love to work with you.
Okay.
But again, we can start by bringing these things the attention, and think of the poor, unsuspecting citizens who go out at Kayaka Bay and Ali'i Beach.
Yeah.
And play there, and that water floods down there.
Yeah.
And go to Wailua, where sometimes it's so stench, and the needles and the sewage and all of that flows down along the coast of North Shore Movement. So that's what you and I can work on. And,
okay.
And also, there is, right there in Wailua, there is two ditches, one by the old cemetery there, and you probably see it comes under the road. The city occasionally opens that up because it sands in.
Yeah, that's what my video was about,
mm-hmm.
the one on Kayaka. We had pictures of it green.
So why is the city sending its crews out to actually break the berm to let this stench water flow into the ocean? Because, and they know it's sewage, they know it's water that is coming out of the reservoir in Wahiwa.
Yeah.
So,
tell you what, you can give me a call, and I'd love to work with you. It's something that needs. I drove by there the other day over the Calcornahue Stream by the convenience center.
Yes.
And they pull the baffles on the flume, and it's dumping straight into the river.
Yes. Yeah, see, we need documentation on that. Sometimes I always have a camera, but I don't know exactly where to go. So I think our group should continue. I mean, like I said, cleaning up the land is not cleaning up the water. It's easier to have people clean up trash on the beaches and all that than it is to get the water. The other thing is, wouldn't this create some new jobs if they did decide to address it? I mean, they're always talking about creating new jobs.
I'm going to say something about like JICA or something like that. It was an acronym where there was a couple million dollars that Mr. Noy, at least $1 million, that got together and put it together and had a committee.
Yeah.
And working with the military to divert that water down to those plants at Honolulu or Sand Island. Well, nothing happened to that, and where's $1 million?
They had millions of dollars to study. There was one group who got $4 million just to study and write something, and nothing was ever done on that either.
And then when you ask the person, the doctors involved in that in the study, you say, well, can you come and testify on your documents and your findings? Well, no, part of our condition of the grant was that we couldn't do that, and we couldn't be used in litigation and on and on.
Yeah, they can't take sides, but they do. Okay, so anyway, GoldenWindFireWatch.org,
right.
And in the event that I am going to see if I can get our group to have some meetings, so I'll call you when we have a meeting.
You do that. Don't be discouraged, but start with your group. Just when the next occasion, there's a guy, John White, I think, is running for your city council.
Yeah.
Feli is running for your, on that whole side over there. Call him up. Don't wait until TV asks for a debate, you know.
Yeah.
Tell him if you don't. You don't come and debate with us, then we're going to get out and wave some signs and don't vote for you. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Take the wheel in your hand and drive the bus.
Yeah.
You know, don't just stand there wait for the bus to take you.
And they're constantly trying to develop the North Shore and claim there's enough water for everybody. Where are they going to get clean water, like you say, if
exactly.
they try to build a hotel and stuff like that? So... Yeah,
I know. It's frustrating, but there is hope. But the point is that you got to go at it the right way. And the right way is that let's just stop biting into this fake pie that they sell us. Oh, this is going to be good for you. And we have those solutions. And then we don't ask them to go beyond that and explain just the basic mechanics of it. And you'd find half of them would run because... Said I'd have to get back to you the standard bailout.
Yeah.
I'll get her number and for me and I'll call you. We'll talk later. No, I mean this is what you hear at these meetings when you corner the politician.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
I mean if you look anywhere you've been, corner them, and that's what you're told. Let me have your number and give me a call. Make sure you get her number. You understand?
Yeah,
you've seen
yeah.
It, huh?
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. So, but don't fall for that. But anyway, I'd be happy to give you a CD with all of that information. You'll have to spend months.
Okay. You want to mail me something if you've already got the CD?
Send me an email to carol@carolcox.com. Or,
yeah.
Okay.
Is that on the? Oh yeah, Carol Cox. Carol@carolcox.com.
Right.
You gave me your card one day when I met you.
I know. I remember you. I saw your video, and that's why I was taken aback when you say, well, you don't understand. I understand.
I didn't think I said you don't understand.
No, well,
I always think of you as being one of the people who really nails it.
Well,
so.
let's nail it again, then.
Okay,
dear. Let's hit the nail on the head and tell the politician, make my day. Tell me what I want to hear, not what you want me to hear.
Yeah.
You know, the Clint Eastwood of the voting community.
Well, like I say, I've been at several town meetings, and I just don't talk. I'm behind the camera, you know, doing the thing for Olello, and sometimes I have to. But this time I'm going to go ready to confront at the next meeting and just see what they have to say. But it does involve people. When they see a lot of people feeling angry, then they do system, they back off.
Or they see that their buddy got voted out, then just think, oh, I'm next.
Yeah.
So, anyway, well, I will let you go, and feel free to contact me.
Okay, thank you for being there, and
Alrighty.
Keep up the good work.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay, Ken, good morning. You there?
Oh, how are you doing, Mr. Carr?
I'm fine. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to complain about our highway street lighting and getting them repaired as they should be.
Mm-hmm. So, someone told you to call us, or?
Oh, I'm sorry?
Well, did some government agency tell you to call us, or are you?
Yeah, I got a hold of Action Line and spoke to some people there, and since I couldn't get any results, they thought you might be of some support.
Well, yeah, we can try. We can at least shine some light on it, I guess.
Yeah.
Where is this located?
Well, the main lighting area that I'm concerned with is right across from the Disabled Veterans Hall,
mm-hmm.
The airport area,
mm-hmm.
right off of Nimitz.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole section there that string of lights have been up for quite some time, and I'm sure it's been out longer than from the time I've noticed it.
Mm-hmm. So it poses a risk. You can't see in the dark, and people with bikes and walkers or pedestrians. What is it? You ride a bike?
Well, I like to ride my bike through that path there, and as many as other people that ride their bike, either going to work or for recreation. But that whole section is almost pitch black, and I believe it's such a safety hazard, and for all the reasons, whether you're driving a car or walking by foot,
mm-hmm.
or riding your bike.
So have you called the state agencies or anybody to fix this?
Yeah, I've called quite a few state agencies, and I've actually talked to the state maintenance crew that actually works right under the viaduct and right where that section is out. And basically, they've told me that they've tried to fix the wiring there before, but they haven't been able to find a resolution for it.
And how long ago was it when you first raised this concern with them?
Well, I think it's going on just about a year now, and from my understanding, these lights have been out well over 2 years. It all started with the copper wiring theft, and it hasn't been repaired since.
Wow. And then you've told them, and they tell you that they're going to fix it, and then they don't, or they refer you to someone else?
Well, they're aware of the situation. They've made an attempt to repair it with some alternate wiring. They're trying to find alternate solutions and not use copper. But basically, the person I spoke to, he said his boss has it for action, but I haven't seen any activity as to trying to repair it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an ongoing issue.
Wow. Amazing. Well, you have, let me give you an email, carol@carolcox.com.
Okay.
And then we'll get together, and maybe we can see and go down, look at it, and go back to Action Line, and if they can't give us any help, we'll try and see if Action Line would air the story, and maybe we can get some results. But
I've even talked to Tammy Morey, who's the spokesperson for the Highway Division.
Oh, you've spoken to?
They're aware of the situation as well, and
but nothing happened.
Well, nothing's happening. I mean, even if they are attempting to repair it, there's not even a temporary lighting just to maintain it in the meantime.
And when you're riding a bike, I mean, you could have gravel, potholes, cement pop up.
Oh, easily. I mean, you could run over a homeless person and not even see him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that dark. And in fact, even the police department used that that extra darkness to get speeders along the way.
Uh-huh. So they sit in the dark there and sort of conceal themselves. I see.
Yeah, and then the homeless people just take advantage of the darkness. So it's, you know, it's like vampires in light, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why they haven there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, send me that email and we'll get together. Maybe we can hopefully get... Because I know I ride my bike occasionally, and it's dangerous when you're especially on a designated area that's a bike trail, and then it's loaded with car parts, shopping carts, and gravel and glass, and then you know.
Exactly. I mean, you know, people could be hiding in the bushes. Or,
right. Yeah, it just invites trouble in the dark. Huh?
Exactly. That's it. Really invites trouble and drug activity and so forth.
Okay.
So, I send you that email, and I really appreciate that.
I will, we will try and call the Department of Transportation, too, and send the email with your contact information.
Okay, we'll do. Thank
we'll
you so
see
much.
What we can do. Thank you, Ken.
All right. Take care.
Well, again, something as simple as that. Okay, we were talking about a political system that make great promises, and we're going to bring in clean energy, we're going to do this, we're going to do an authority. And if true, here's a citizen calling, complaining that he's had a light system that has gone out for more than a year on state property along the highways, along the bike trail, and can't get it fixed. So even the basic things where people could use to ride their bikes, avoid using a car, we don't do anything to address that. So is the Ionas and the Abercrombies, do they have a plan to go out and get $20 million to improve our bike systems, our bike trails? It would invite healthy walking and healthy riding. It would save on fuel. People could move about within the city and shuttle. But do you see that? And another thing for me, riding a bike, and many other cyclists talk about it, is that they clean the streets, for example, show you what importance or how they rate or think of the biking here in Honolulu, our government officials. They drive, they send city street sweepers down to clean off the street for the cars, and a great bit of that gravel and dust and debris is pushed to the side right in the bike lane or on the edge where the cyclist will ride. Imagine riding over millions of ball bearings for miles. Imagine how that would come into play and how dangerous it is. So just that basic maintenance, that basic neglect speaks a lot about what is it about these great promises that they're going to do big things when the little things escape them and the citizens call in and nothing happens. But anyway, it's just crazy, and we need there seems to be a little hope with Mr. Carlisle, and I was a little worried with some of the things. I'm encouraged, but he said that he was not going to get rid of a great many of the people yet. Well, I hopefully that I could get him to read a little basic book on conquering. When people win over or displace a bad leader, they tend to get rid of the leader, his family, and anybody that worked for them, because they were doing, the leader himself, like Hanneman's administration, Hanneman wasn't doing it by himself, these things of neglect, this abuse of authority, the squandering of monies. He didn't do that single-handedly. He purposely placed these individuals in these places. And so to come in and say, and I understand wanting to be a gentleman and a scholar and approach it as if we're going to be good about it and not destroy people's lives, but I'm having first-hand knowledge that we should clean house within city government completely. Jeffrey Kudamat, for example, I'm told this is a gentleman who was the head administrator for the streets and maintenance, the road maintenance, are the ones that had the cement dumped in the mighty stream. I'm told that he has offered his resignation. So maybe Carlisle is hoping that some of these people would resign. But I'm also equally bothered that I see Patty Teruya, who we file ethics complaints against, and they're still active, and I see she is quite involved in Mr. Carlisle's reconstruction or whatever, I don't know, but it gives you, maybe she's not, but I see her hanging loose with him, and I understand he's close to the family, so I'm hoping that the interest of the people is put first and not our individual friendships and not our to be cordial, but within city government. And I'll say this and challenge anyone to show me differently. There are people in there about one pin stroke away from going to jail, or they should be in jail. They have ripped us off. There's fraud, there's waste, there's abuse to the basic level. Overtime, I'm informed here recently, the overtime on the mileage stream, for example, they claim $58,000. There's in excess of $300,000 that was taken, and that was the original amount that was in higher that we reported, but somehow Kudaman and others said it was $58,000. So when we leave these people in place, for whatever reason, it may be strategy, it may be the best, or maybe preserving, well, I want to safely get through the 2 years and then run again for office. But again, I would think right now there is a party of shredding, there's a party of hiding documents, and they get to continue on. And I'm not going to tell Carlisle what to do. He's the prosecutor. He has knowledge and has know how to draw on these things, and maybe he has a different approach. But before I'm coming from him, what I've seen within the city agencies, Alibaba and the 40 thieves, more like Alibaba and 150 thieves. They are well placed in government, and as I told you, I even understood that last week I talked, I even get information that Frank Doyle went to the transportation department. Bill Brennan was transferred there, as I say, in September 3rd, way before Hanneman had known that he was going to lose. So did these folks know that they were going to lose? That Hanneman was going to lose? Did he know by September 3rd? Because Brennan left Hanneman's office on September 3rd of 2010, some 15 days approximately from before the date of the election. So these are kinds of things that I'm hoping Carlisle will take into consideration. I'm not going to second guess him. I have great respect for him, what he's done with many of the cases and what have you. And it's troublesome and troubling, I should say, that we're, you know, that these people are still left in place and operating as they would. Maybe he sent a message to them that you will not operate loosely, but right down to the their leader, Kurt Caldwell. I mean, I don't know where he's going. I'm told that he was going to go and go back to his private business. But I think Kurt Caldwell, for example, should do an honorable thing and pay back, or at least pay the amount of money that taxes that would have been charged for his property, but he got the break for the historic aspect of his house being categorized or classed as a historic site. I think that he should step up to the plate. He got the money. Just forego one of those fancy pair of shoes and fancy shirt and go out there and pay it back and in respect to the people in Kalihi, to the taxpayer. But instead, he'll probably surface somewhere in the Abercrombie administration doing something. This is the way the game is played. We vote him out and they bring him in. So that's the kind of things that we need to be careful about, and why we shouldn't fall for the partisan or the party okie dokie. They all got a game going on. They all want to tell you things, but they don't want to really know what you the things that they're really up to. So be smart about it. Anyway, I wanted to share something else with you. This is to say to you, don't get ripped off. And I don't know if many of you have gotten any of these things. For a couple of years now, I personally have received phone calls. And they start off by telling me, your warranty on your car has expired, and we want to renew your warranty. And so I start by saying, okay, well, what kind of car do I own? Don't know. Let me check. Let me check our files. And they can't tell you what car you own, but yet they tell you your warranty has expired. So I play along and I give them a name so that I can bring to you and say to you, buyer beware, especially the seniors out there. And there, even young people can fall for this one. Watch what you buy over the phone. Watch what you buy over the internet. So I go further and ask these people, and they then get me to tell them what type of car that I have. So I fictitiously made a name of a car, Honda Civic 2006, and I gave him a false name. And then I become a client of theirs. They want me to give them $2,800 over the phone to get this warranty. And they're called the StopRepairBills.com. So if you want to go there to their website, it's called StopRepairBills.com. And they actually try and sell you, and very sneaky about it. If you don't accept that, they'll give you monthly payments. Do you want to pay by credit card or debit card? And so I went to the website, and I made them send me a copy. And they said, well, okay, if you go to this website, and there's a contract on there, and it's a sample contract. It's not really a contract. It's a specimen. And so you go in, and you look at this contract, and it tells you you can take it to Tony Honda, whomever. But I haven't had the chance to talk to Tony Honda or any of the others to see if this is reputable. But it doesn't matter. How can you sell me a warranty for a car that doesn't exist? So I did that just to show that this is fraudulent. And the willingness on their part, and these young men. So if you ask hard questions, well, why would I give you my credit card information over the phone? Then hold on for a moment, and then another salesman come in, the boardroom type salesman. Well, if you don't accept this deal right now, at this time, the price will go up. So be careful out there with the pressures that they bring on you to go out and rip you off. I don't know. Act now for your 10% discount. Why would I act now for a 10% discount on a car that does not exist? So, again, that is StopRepairBills.com. If any of you have heard or had a call like this from them, please, I would appreciate if you would give me a call. And if even now, if you could, 524-1080, and let me know if you've had any such calls to come to you. But what I would say to you, be extremely careful with these folks, because they're just not what they present themselves as, especially when I ask for the information on the contract and all of that. I'm trying to find right now, there's a, based on the Stop Repair Bill service policy, cost of $2,500 for a five-year term, plus a down payment of zero, cost is based on the average base rate for five-mile tow. Now, I call one of the tow companies that they refer you to, and they say they charge you by the mile, and they will only pay up to $50. And anything after that, you have to pay. So why would you need a tow service and paying $2,800 for this contract when they can't tell you who in the state of Hawaii accepted it. I asked them on numerous occasions to tell me, look, what company, Tony Honda or whomever, that you've actually paid a check to on behalf of one of your clients? They couldn't provide me anything. They were very jumpy and trying to, and very evasive to avoiding any answers. So be careful out there and know that there's people out there who want to take your money. And especially in these times, imagine sending $2,800 to a company you don't know that exists, a company that will sell you a warranty for a car that does not exist. And the funny part is, you don't have to tell, you tell them the mileage, but you don't have to show them. So I offered, do I take a photograph of this car and send to you? Do I go to a mechanic and get it certified that the car exists and that it's you're going to let me buy this warranty for? Says, oh no, we don't need that. We'll take your word for it. So how then, and what is it that they're selling you? You would think a reputable company would start off to know the condition of the car, that the car exists, that the party that they're selling the thing exists. All of that didn't matter. Even while asking them, how do you know that I could be lying to you or telling you fake or false information, misrepresenting or whatever? That didn't matter. They wanted the $2,800. So that's why I'm saying to you out there, the listeners, especially seniors, be very careful. Do not let them creep into and get you to send any money, sign anything, unless you know specifically. Now, the company that they're at, the address was in Colorado, but the young man that was selling it to me was in Missouri. And it looks legitimate. You go to the website. But again, I have to emphasize, even if they are a legitimate company, I am quite concerned that they would be willing to insure or sell me a policy or a contract for $2,800 on a car that I fictitiously named and that I made, a 2006 Civic, and I told them 114,000 miles. The only response was, that's a lot of miles, but we can insure you. So you got to ask yourself, what is going on? What is going on with this, that a company like this would be calling out? So watch your money, folks. It is nothing to be taken lightly. I think many of you would miss $2,800 if it was taken from you, or some of you say, well, and this is what they offer too. Well, if you don't like the deal, you can call your credit card company and have them to recover the money. I don't know about you, but I think you should just start from the beginning. Why not go down here and get a company to sell you such a warranty, if one such warranty existed locally? Then you know you can walk in the door, you can talk to the people that sold it to you, and you can hold them accountable, and you can go to the Attorney General and file a complaint, or Better Business, or DCCA, if they defraud you. So heads up, be careful. Again, that was StopRepairBills.com, and they'll call you up and start off again, as I say. Your warranty has expired, and we want to sell you another. So anyway, see you next week, and I appreciate you joining in. If you've heard of this company or had these calls or any other trickery calls that you suspect, please don't hesitate. Give us a call, 524-1080. Aloha. We'll be right back.
mended. Oh, because it's been broken so many times before. Oh, the storm it comes, and you say it just once more, once more, once more. Oh, what a dream. What a dream I had about you last night. I dreamed I held it, squeezed it, teased it. Oh, so tight, so tight. I remember your lips were so divine. Tasted just like cherry wine. Your body warm and tender, surrendering, laying there close to mine. Oh, baby. If dreams were men, what a dream. Dreams are meant for dreamers. Me and you, that I believe that love, love, true love, was meant for nobody else, but just me and you, me and you, me and you. Oh, baby, let me tell you. Your kiss, your tender kiss from your lips. Oh, how much one kiss, one moment of your kiss means to me. To hold you in my arms with all your sweet, warm, tender charm. I got to go on, I gotta go on. Please, don't wake me, don't shake me, don't wake me from this dream. If you do, I'll scream, 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 scream. Oh, dreams, the dreams, the dreams of men.
For listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.